Greetings and blessings to all of us. It's good to see all the youth and children along this morning. Friday evening, it was just the parents. That's a blessing too, but makes it, there's a lot missing without the youth and children, isn't there? I think I'll write the title on the board here. I considered having someone yesterday go to town and get maybe a Christmas tree with some lights and gifts and put it up here to help us celebrate, but didn't get that accomplished. So I guess we'll have to do without that this morning. Thank you. Christian holidays from God or pagan? From God or pagan? Just considering we're coming into the time of year, Christmas coming up and a lot of holiday celebration and lots of things happening. Just prior to Thanksgiving, you know, we drove through our local town, and they're putting up all these lights, all the lights, Christmas trees. In our local town, just a small town, they're having a manger scene and all kinds of things, and there's hundreds of people show up, have a little, all kinds of things happening, and my mind was going to God up in heaven. If you consider God up in heaven, looking down and wanting to send his son down here, and you want him to become a prominent figure, you want him to become a man that's well known and everyone knows about, and his name gets spread across the whole world, how would you do that? How would you do that? If it be up to you to send Jesus down here on the earth and to make him a prominent figure, a person that people remember and talk about across the whole globe, how would you do that? Here a couple years ago, there's a couple of us that were over in Israel, and as we were there, we went over to the Herodian. I believe it's called the Herodian. It's a man-made mountain. King Herod the Great, in the time of his reign, and King Herod the Great was actually in that time. King Herod the Great was the greatest ruler on the earth at that time. His dominion spread farther and wider than any other king at the time. In his reign, he built a mountain. He actually had his servants go, and there is a tall hill, and he went and had them put more dirt, earth, and he built the mountain up. His goal was to be able to see Jerusalem. And on top of that mountain that he built, that was his palace. It wasn't where he lived all the time, but it was his getaway palace. When he wanted to get away from everything else, he went to the Herodian. On top of the Herodian, he had his own outdoor amphitheater. He had houses and servants, and he even had a synagogue in there. There's all kinds of things on the Herodian. Now, on top of this Herodian, King Herod would go there for his getaway. But if you go on top and you look out, you can see the town of Bethlehem in the distance. And not only the town of Bethlehem, but you can also see the countryside where God sent his messengers to proclaim the birth of Jesus. Now consider with me, when God in heaven sent Jesus down here on the earth, he chose to bring his birth, to have him born within sight of the greatest king in that time area. The greatest king, the greatest ruler. And he brought him down. Jesus was born not even in a house. There wasn't any room in the houses. He was born in a stable, in a manger. And it was on that countryside that King Herod could actually have looked out and seen them. And there, Jesus was born as a nobody. Wonderful. I could talk a lot about all that. There's a lot more to be said, but I just wanted to give you a perspective. I'd like for us to maybe, for an opening scripture, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. We like to read a number of verses here in Ezekiel, chapter 8. The two specific holidays that we're going to be looking at specifically is Christmas and Easter. We'll talk about some other things as well, but I'd just like to be more specifically looking at that this morning. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 13, we're going to start reading. Verse 13, he said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, it's a temple, which was toward the north. And behold, now listen to this, behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. We're going to talk more about Tammuz this morning, who he is. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And we'll come back to that verse a little bit later on. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. That's water witching. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity Though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now this is some very serious words that Ezekiel was speaking to the children of Israel, God's people, and he uses some very, very strong language about the abominations that they were in, some of the things that were going on. Today, we're living at a time when the Christmas holidays come around, there's a lot of interesting things happen. We just had Black Friday. What's Black Friday? Black Friday is when the stores all across the U.S., many other countries, discount their prices, and from what I'm aware of, the greatest volume of sales in a single day is done on Black Friday. People go and they buy gifts in preparation for the holidays, Christmas. As a little boy growing up, the school that I went to, they exchange gifts among the children. I was the only one, or our family growing up there was the only family in school that was not allowed to exchange gifts, but everyone else did. Now, there's another practice that we also did at school growing up, and that is when Easter rolled around, we had an Easter egg hunt, and eggs were placed across the schoolyard, and eggs were colored, and then everyone went to find their eggs and everything that goes along with that. Christmas holidays these days, there's a lot that can be said. There's in our local area, we have Anabaptist neighbors that put a nice little Christmas tree on the outside of their entryway on the front porch. There's some others that put them on the inside by the front door. There's lights that go on, and by the way, this isn't just the Anabaptists. It's a lot of people that profess Christianity, and the Anabaptist people are very much involved and a part of that. And I'm going to say with some of these things, there's more or less. But there's a lot of gifts given on Christmas. There's a lot of lights. There's a lot of, red-nosed reindeer and a sleigh and the gifts and everything that goes with all that. You know what I'm talking about. But it's a time of year when those things are done. And we'd like to just consider that this morning. Maybe the origins and just some of the places where some of those things come from, and consider and ask ourselves a question: what would God have us to be doing on those holidays? Where do we fit into the big picture with all these wonderful holidays that we have? I mean, I didn't ask Brother Steve why he doesn't have a tree up here. A lot of churches have trees up in their front, up front these days, but I guess you don't. But I'm sure you've had some thoughts about all that. There's other things that go with that, is things like Santa Claus and Santa Claus coming down the chimney and bringing gifts, and children. Talk to children who are taught, talk to adults who said they were coming up through pretty good till they realized that Santa Claus really wasn't a live man and there wasn't any such thing as Santa Claus bringing their gifts and putting them over by the tree. But there's a lot that happens with Santa Claus. But where does Santa Claus come from? Now, There's another scripture in Jeremiah, if you want to turn there, that I also wanted to look at. You want to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah. Chapter 10. Tell me if this comes into pretty close connections with what we see around Christmas these days. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Let me just stop there. Can we all say that together? Learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and hammers that they move not. I like to suggest that a lot of the things that are happening today started way long before Jesus ever was born here on the earth. Long, long time before that. There's holidays and there's practices and things that have come, and then they have been merged together with Christianity. And a lot of people who call themselves Christians today are involved in very questionable, and I'm going to say, idolatrous practices. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, that's a Christmas tree. The work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, they deck it with silver and with gold. That's what they do, don't they? They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it may not move. Now, maybe I'll just, before we go into the way original where some of these things started, I like to take us to where it started to merge with Christianity. There's a man, an emperor. Constantine was a Roman emperor, and there's, I'm going to say, probably many of you that know a bit about the history of some of that. But Constantine was, his time as an emperor was from the early 300s, around 308. 337. As a younger man, his father was a general for the emperor, and as a young man, Constantine saw a lot of Christians being persecuted and killed for the faith. After he became the emperor, and he became ruler, and it was over a period of time that he gathered, or that he became the emperor over a large portion of the world at that time. Toward the end of his reign, which was A 337, toward the end of that, or during his reign, he was very sympathetic toward the Christians. But toward the end of that, he made some decisions and he merged Christianity with the state. And at that point, in the early 300s, which is around 300 years after the birth of Christ, around that time, Christianity became the state religion, or the religion of that time. When he was doing that, toward the end of his life, he actually just a little prior to him dying, when he realized he was dying, he was actually baptized and officially joined as a Christian. Leading up to that, there was a merging going on that he took some of these, what I'm going to say, idolatrous practices, and he merged these things together, making Christianity and the pagan practices, those idolatrous, heathen, all that idolatry, he was merging those things together. And that was the beginning of the merger between Christianity and these, a lot of these pagan practices. And we're going to go back further after a little bit here, but just consider with me, these are some of the things that they did in those times. They decorated their homes with greenery. They had special food. They gave gifts. Around 1100 AD, which was a couple hundred years later, Christmas became the most prominent holiday in the world around 1100 AD. And that was put on by the Catholic Church, which in those days, all that, you know, that turned into the Catholic movement. In the 14 and 1500s, which is around 600-700 years ago, around that time is a time that the nativity scene started becoming prominent. Prior to that, it wasn't a part, but the nativity scene of the birth of Christ and him laying in a manger, all that, that was happening around 14 to 1500s. Now, in the 1500s, there was a Reformation. And there's many of you that I think are familiar with what happened in the Reformation. But when there was a drawing out of the Catholic Church and the whole Anabaptist movement, when all of those things were started in those early days, the people that, during that Reformation, the people that drew out, those people clearly rejected these holidays. They clearly rejected them. And they viewed them as pagan. In fact, in England, these holidays were outlawed. And in early America, in the English colonies, these holidays were outlawed. Why do you think they were outlawed? They were viewed as pagan. They were not viewed as Christian at all. They were viewed as pagan holidays. And it was around this time that Santa Claus took the place of St. Nicholas. I think I missed saying that, but earlier on in the 1500 or in the 1100s, I believe, there was a very kind, generous man who gave gifts, and he's what we know as Santa Claus today. Later on, his name changed from St. Nicholas to Santa Claus, and he was a kind, giving man that gave nice gifts to people, and that's how we get Santa Claus today. Now, where does the word Christmas come from? Anyone know? Yes. Christ's Mass. That's right. Christmas, the word Christmas comes from Christ's Mass. In the Catholic Church, Christ's Mass. That's where it comes from. I want to give you a little bit more history here. December 25th, as we know Christmas today, December 25th, way back, right soon after the flood, the great-grandson of Noah, the great-great-grandson of Noah, His name was Tammuz, and his birthday was December 25th. And we're going to talk a bit about that. But that was his birthday. December 25th was his birthday. And for 600 or 700 years coming through there, and maybe I have those dates wrong as to how long that was, but for hundreds of years, for hundreds of years coming through there, there was December 25th was celebrated as Tammuz's birthday in remembrance of that. And later, when there's a merging of everything, there's a merging. Christian holidays, pagan holidays. When these things were merged, December 25th became known as Jesus' birthday. Today, many people don't even think about questioning whether that was Jesus' birthday. Well, everyone knows it wasn't his birthday, but people who have looked into some of the feasts, different times of the Passover, all those things, as well as when he was predicted to come, they would say that around or in the fall sometime is the likelihood that Jesus would have been born, and not during the winter. So very likely during the fall sometime would have been the actual birth of Christ rather than December 25th. But December 25th, as we know it today, Christmas, is the actual date of Tammuz' birthday, and that date was celebrated for hundreds of years prior to the birth of Jesus. Now, I'd like to maybe give us a bit of history on Nimrod. The Bible doesn't say lots about Nimrod. History says a lot more about Nimrod. But there's a number of names that we need to talk about here. Nimrod was a great-grandson of Noah. Great or great-great? I'm not sure which anymore. Nimrod's mother's name was Semiramis. It's Semiramis. And after a bit here, I'm going to read an account of that whole thing. But Nimrod's mother was Semiramis and in those days, Nimrod became a very powerful man. In fact, history is very clear that it was Nimrod that built the Tower of Babel when the people were scattered. And there's a lot of wickedness. Nimrod was a very, very wicked man in those days. But Nimrod's mother, Semiramis, when Nimrod's father passed away, Nimrod married his mother. And she was a very, very wicked woman. And then as time went on, and I'll also say, in this whole idolatrous religion that was formed, this was the beginning of a tremendous amount of idolatry. What is known as Easter today, that actually comes from Semiramis. She became known as Ishtar, which is Easter, which is Nimrod's mother, Nimrod's wife. They together, or after Nimrod died, and we're going to look at that after a little bit. I'm going to read through there. But when Nimrod died, then she put out, Semiramis put out this whole thing that of how he was a god. And in fact, Nimrod became known today when you heard, or through the Bible, when you talk about Baal, Nimrod is known as Baal. And they had a statue for that in those days. But Nimrod is actually Baal. And Tammuz that Ezekiel talks about is the son of Semiramis, who she had in adultery or fornication. And this was after Nimrod died. Then she had this baby, and she wasn't married at the time. And she gave the story how there's an egg came down from heaven, and it was that egg that impregnated her, and that's how Tammuz came about. And then he grew up as a little boy, and Tammuz was then later killed by a pig. And this whole idolatrous pagan holidays that kept on going had to do with the eggs, and it also had to do with bunnies, fertility, and it all started right there. I'm going to be reading about that in just a little bit here. But that was the beginning of all of these holidays, pagan holidays that were later merged into Christianity. Now, Genesis says it this way, and Cush begat Nimrod. Cush was a son, Cush was Noah's grandson. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod is a mighty hunter before the Lord. Bible doesn't mention Nimrod all that much, but history says a lot about Nimrod. So those were the beginnings of a lot of these pagan holidays. Back in those days, in the early times, okay, a question I should ask is, was December 25th Jesus' birthday? December 25th was Tammuz's birthday, which is Semiramis' son that later got killed, but it was not Jesus' birthday. Where did Santa Claus come from? He was simply a figure that was a very generous and kind man. Where does the Christmas tree come from? And we've talked about some of these things, but the Christmas tree came back in those days as a part of the whole holiday celebration when they celebrated Baal, Easter, Ishtar, and Tammuz. It was a part of that whole celebration. And Jeremiah talks about how they cut trees down in those days. That's where the Christmas tree comes from today. Did the early church celebrate the birth of Jesus? Did the early church celebrate the birth of Jesus? Anyone? No. There's a lot of shaking hands. The early church did not celebrate the birth of Christ. And in the end here, we're going to talk a little bit more, well, should we? Should we? But the early church did not celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Easter. Easter, the origins of Easter, is obviously, I mentioned Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter. It was a day that was It was a day that commemorated the resurrection of one of their gods that they called Tammuz. So Easter as we know it, Easter as we know, it was back then, Easter was celebrated as a day of resurrection when Tammuz, that young boy that was killed, that he rose from the dead. Easter is celebrated as that day. Who is believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. Now, it's interesting that even in the book of Acts, it already talks about Easter. So Easter was prior to Jesus' time. Easter was already going. Now listen to what it says here in Acts. And this is specifically talking about the heathen pagan practices during the time frame of the early church. And this is specifically talking about Herod. And so it was the unbelievers that were observing this holiday. This was not the believers. This was the unbelievers. Now listen to this. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread," which was a Jewish holiday. "When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him," now listen to this, "intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Intending after Easter. This Easter is a part of the pagan holiday religion that was being observed in those days, even prior to the resurrection of Christ. This holiday of Easter was already there. "Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Now, I'm going to read an article here. And listen carefully as I read. We must understand that professing Christians were not the only ones who celebrated a festival called Easter. Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, was a day that commemorated the resurrection of one of their gods that they called Tammuz. And Tammuz is the one that the women were weeping there with Ezekiel. They were weeping for Tammuz, who is believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. There was a man named Nimrod, who was a grandson of Noah's son named Ham. Ham had a son named Cush, who married a woman named Semiramis, and Cush and Semiramis then had a son named, and they named him Nimrod. After the death of his father, Nimrod married his own mother, and became a powerful king. Now the Bible tells of this man Nimrod in Genesis 10, 8-10, as follows, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Asad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Nimrod became a god man to the people, and Semiramis, his wife slash mother, became a powerful queen of ancient Babylon. Nimrod was eventually killed by an enemy, and his body was cut in pieces and sent to various parts of his kingdom. Now Semiramis had all the parts gathered except for the one part that could not be found. That missing part was his reproductive organ. Now Semiramis claimed that Nimrod could not come back to life without it and told the people of Babylon that Nimrod had ascended to the sun and was now to be called Baal, the sun god. Queen Semiramis also proclaimed that Baal would be present on the earth in the form of a flame, whether candle or lamp, when used in worship. Now, Semiramis was creating a mystery religion. With the help of Satan, she set herself up as a goddess. Now, Semiramis claimed that she claimed that she was immaculately conceived She taught that the moon was a goddess that went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when full. She further claimed that she came down from the moon in a giant moon egg that fell into the Euphrates River. This was to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring equinox. Semiramis became known as Ishtar. She became known as Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as Ishtar's egg. Ishtar soon became pregnant and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive. The son that she brought forth was named Tammuz. Tammuz was noted to be especially fond of rabbits, and they became sacred in the ancient religion because Tammuz was believed to be the son of the sun god Baal, and Tammuz, like his supposed father, became a hunter. Now the day came when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig. Queen Ishtar told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father Baal, and that the two of them would be with the worshippers in a sacred candle or lamp flame as father, son, and spirit. Ishtar was now worshipped as a mother of God and queen of heaven, continued to build her mystery religion. Now the queen told the worshippers that when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig, some of his blood fell on a stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew into a full new tree overnight. This made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. The evergreen tree, the Christmas tree. She also proclaimed a 40-day period of time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Worshippers were to mediate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal, Nimrod, and Tammuz, and to make the sign of the T in front of their hearts as they worship. Catholics still do this today. Every year, on the first day after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, a celebration was made. It was Ishtar's Sunday, and celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Ishtar also proclaimed that because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Have you ever heard of the Easter ham? The Easter egg, the Easter bunny. That's where all this stuff comes from. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I'm just going to say that those things that are involved that we talked about, the Christmas tree, the lights, all that stuff, and I'm gonna say, may I say it carefully, I think giving of gifts on Christmas is involved with that too. I'm just gonna say those are acts of idolatry. Now, I'm gonna make another comment here in regards to many churches today have Easter Sunday, they have a sunrise service. And they celebrate Jesus' resurrection. I'm just going to say that that's a questionable practice. I don't know that I would put it into the same category as the other things. But consider with me what we read there in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel In Ezekiel, it says this. One of the great abominations were that they had their faces, they had their backs toward the temple, and they had their faces toward the east, toward the rising of the sun, and they were worshiping the sun. Now, if we were in those shoes at that time, and all of that was going on right around us, do you think we'd have a service on Easter Sunday celebrating the resurrection when all around us, everyone else is worshiping the sun god? You know, I'm not suggesting that we worship the sun god, or people do when they worship or when they have sunrise services, but I'm going to suggest that that is where some of those practices actually originate from. And so I'm going to put it into a questionable practice. Now, I'm just going to go through here and name some of these, what I'm going to say, idolatrous practices. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, Christmas, those wreaths, Santa Claus, reindeer, gift giving, commercialization. Then with Easter, you have the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs and the Easter ham. I'm just going to say that those fall into categories that are idolatrous. And many, many, many Christians are sucked right into those things today. They're heathen, pagan practices. Now, I'll also make a comment that even the days of the week that we have here today, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even those days, the names of those days, even those come, most of those come from heathen, pagan gods. That's where most of that comes from. So I'm going to suggest that it's pretty hard to get away from all that. It's hard to just wash our hands from all that. But I would like to say that there's more of this type of idolatry around us than we realize, and we do well to be very, very careful. So a question comes, should Christians celebrate these holidays? Now, should Christians celebrate these holidays? I'm afraid that if I say some things here, you might not like what I have to say. But should Christians celebrate these holidays? Now, before I answer that... before I answer that, I want to read you some scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read some verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the question is, should Christians celebrate these holidays? Should they? Second Corinthians 6 and verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Now turn also with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me just read that again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verse 1, it says these words. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Gerizzites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn down their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Should Christians celebrate these holidays? Turn with me also to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23 says these words, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So should Christians celebrate these holidays? So, maybe I should say it this way. I think it's okay on Christmas Day to read the story about the birth of Christ and talk about that. But there's a difference between doing that and being involved in these pagan activities. I don't know if you follow that. Big difference. Big difference. And you might ask the question, well, should we go out on Christmas Day and work like we do any other day? Well, maybe I should say it this way. I most certainly wouldn't observe it in any holiday fashion. But I've heard of Christians who know the things I'm telling you, and in a very brazen way, they went out and were replacing roofs and all kind of things on Christmas Day, and people looked at them, and they were like, "What in the world? These guys don't believe in it. They don't even believe in Jesus." Okay, do you follow what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to suggest here is I wouldn't observe it as a holiday as such. It's okay to read about some of these things, and it's okay to read some of the story about Christ, but not get involved in any of those other things. In fact, you know, for us, you know, if you talk to our children, they say we probably never read the Christmas story on Christmas Day. We just don't do that. But I don't think it's wrong to do it. You know, I think it's wrong to do it. In the same way we would any other day. But there's a difference between that and getting involved in these pagan practices. Question might also come about caroling. And I really don't know what you all do about caroling, Christmas caroling. Well, now let me just say what we've done over the years. Actually, we haven't done it for a couple of years here. Yeah, but one of the things that we did is we didn't make it a Christmas caroling. We simply made it to where we had a full gospel message, and that included a couple of songs that had to do with the birth of Christ, but it was a full gospel message, and it wasn't, quote, Christmas caroling. Okay, do you follow what I'm saying? I think there can be extreme positions taken in some of these things where we anything that smells like it, we just run away. Well, we can't run away from, you know, from saying Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We can't run away from those things totally either. And yet, we need to be clear in these areas. We need to be clear, and there's many Christians who are not clear. I mean, there's many who, when it comes to Christians, they'll pack the whole family in a car, and they'll go to some distant city where it's known to have all these lights, and you know, enjoy all the Christmas lights and all the activities, and go to a manger scene, and all, you know, they're involved in all these things. Let me just say, those are idolatrous practices. And we do well to just stay clear. We do well to just stay clear in those matters. Question can also come, well, what about family gatherings? Well, it is a national holiday. It's a national holiday, and you know, I don't think there's anything wrong to have family gatherings on Christmas. Just a family gathering. Well, there's a lot of difference between having a family gathering or having a big Christmas ado. I don't know. Do you follow what I'm trying to communicate? And I know that there might be some who would say, well, absolutely, I won't even go to a family gathering. Well, I don't know that I'm at that place. It's a national holiday. You know, it's a good place. You know, it's a good time to just have your family gatherings and this and that. But there's a big difference between doing that and being involved in the idolatrous practices of the day. Now, I'm going to have a little suggestion for you here. I don't know many of you all that well in your homes, and maybe there are some of you that even have some of these things in your houses. And if you have some of these things in your houses, I have some suggestions for you. I have some suggestions what to do about it. And I'd like to suggest that if you have some of these things that I mentioned, the wreaths and the lights and you know, the gifts and, you know, you name it, all of the things in your houses, a good place for that, or a good way to handle that, is to make a big bonfire and burn them. It's a good way to get rid of it. You know, in the book of Acts, they did some of those things with practices or with witchcraft items. They did some of those things. And I just like to suggest that if you have some of these things in your houses and you've been involved in some of these things, a good way to take care of it is burn it. Get rid of it. be clear in these areas. You know, it's a good way to just be clear. And I would like to suggest that for many Christians, they're involved in these practices without knowing. They don't know the things that, you know, the origins and all these things, you know, where it comes from and how these things have been merged with pagan practices. But I'd just like to suggest that we as a people of God ought to be at a clear place on these issues. Now, we ought to be at a place where we're not partaking in these heathen pagan practices that have been merged together with Christianity. And in the same way with, you know, it's okay to, on Easter, what's known as Easter, to have some resurrection songs, you know, being sung. You know, that can be all right. Okay, we're not, you know, that's, we sing those songs other days of the year as well, not just on those, but let's be practical, and let's be clear. These pagan practices have to go. They need to go out the door. They need to, you know, hit the burn pile. They need to be moved on, you know. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be at a place where the glory of God can be in our midst. And we can be at a place of the brotherhood that's clear. We can be at a place of the brotherhood that God can look down upon us and he, you know, there aren't practices and things among us that are questionable and that move the hearts of the people in a wrong way. The Lord bless you with all that. And God help us to be at a good, clear place.